Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I never said Boston wasn't on my list.
This was a bit unprofessional, to be honest. You know, to call for a trade that you know that you probably couldn't get in the long run and probably know that it was a long shot to get it done during the season like this.
Dale Arnold.
Shouting down the porcelain telephone to God.
Rich Keith.
I think you're going to see within the next 2 weeks that somebody's going to step up, somebody's going to do the right thing.
Dale and Keith. Middays.
When you get a new job, you got to kick someone's ass the first day. Otherwise, you get treated like a piece of trash.
Did you kick the first day here?
Fourier's.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I don't know about you, but I start the work week. I start the Monday here just feeling relief.
Relief?
Phew.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why's that? Just another week started?
Thank God Kyrie Irving was able to gut out 25 hard minutes in the All-Star game last night.
Is that really how you want to start? Is that really how you want to begin this thing?
I thought of you a couple of times this weekend, which is troubling to me.
Yeah. Sounds like a good weekend.
One was when Kyrie played 25 minutes in the All-Star game when you were counting on maybe five.
What is he doing?
Five good strong minutes and then get the hell off the court. And then Anthony Davis, and we heard him in the open there.
Yes.
Somewhere the Little Rich in Little Richie Keith went,
well, hold on a second. So first of all, where do we want to begin? The good news or the bad news? Let's start with the bad news, I guess. Let's start with that. Kyrie Irving, what he did over the weekend, Dale, was he slapped Danny Ainge in the face. He slapped Brad Stevens in the
More
face.
More importantly,
he slapped Rich Keith in the face.
He slapped
Dale Arnold in the face. He slapped Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. He slapped everybody involved with the Celtics in the face. He couldn't play last week.
They had some support. They had a trainer there. They had his personal good.
Oh, he cleared that
up. They were able to get him all.
He played 25 minutes. The only guy who played more, actually, I should take it back. Two guys, James Harden and LeBron James, who is named after the team. It's his team. It's Team LeBron, are the only two guys that played more than Kyrie Irving for his team. He played 25 minutes. This wasn't just a token start and, hey, thanks for voting me in, fans. I'm going to run up and down. Anthony Davis, who hurt his shoulder last week, he played 5 minutes. Sort of a, hey, I'm here, you know, take it with the crowd, and then we're done. You got 13 guys on the roster because they added the corpse of Dwayne Wade out there. So you have 13 guys. They didn't have to play Kyrie Irving so much. He plays 25 minutes. He was attacking the offensive glass at one point.
Hey,
I'm like, what are you doing?
Do less.
I'm like, you don't do
Kyrie,
that for this
do
team.
Less.
He doesn't do it for this team. He was going to the basket. He was trying to play a little bit of defense in an All-Star game at one point.
Which, first of all, is against the rules.
It's not allowed. They don't like it. 178-164, your final. But Kyrie Irving playing 25 minutes, I just thought was so ridiculous. You got the sense that he was going to play in the game, just the way the week was leading up to it.
I didn't think there was any doubt he was going to play.
Stevens and Ainge, I think, knew it too, because they were trying to make it a non-issue. I can't imagine they're thrilled with it, but they were saying, oh, no, that's fine. You go ahead. Hey, if he wants to do that, hey, he's got to get back into shape somehow. So I hope he does play. And you're like, oh, God, because they knew he was going to play. So then he goes there. He's coaching Jason Tatum in the Rising Stars job on Friday.
I was okay with do that.
Yeah, good for him. Had a nice appearance there. And then the next thing you know, he is playing 25 minutes. I just think it's outrageous. I mean, so he obviously is 100% good to go.
Either of the last two games.
Nope.
Was unable to.
At Philly.
Physical limitations.
Right.
The doctor said, no.
Can't go.
You can't go.
Can't go. And I understand the last game that he missed was on a Wednesday, and this All-Star game was on a Sunday. And I know it's not the most grueling competition in the world, but I just thought the way that it was going to look is bad. And it's on top of it, the way he and his teammates have sort of mixed or not mixed all season long. This isn't just, it's one thing if they were in first place, they were rolling. Say they were the Milwaukee Bucks and they were rolling. Everybody was getting along. I still think playing 25 minutes is a bit much, but just playing in the game, you're like, whatever. That doesn't seem to be an issue at all or divide on the team. Like, no, there is a divide. Kyrie Irving is selfish. He absolutely is. And it's no surprise that he was going to play in the game. And, you know, watching it last night, you're like, okay, wait, he's back on the court again? Oh, he's still playing? He's running up and down? Okay, looks pretty healthy to me.
I am admittedly not a fan of All-Star games. Don't like the NHL All-Star game. Don't like the Pro Bowl. Major League Baseball is the one that's least offensive to me. Don't like All-Star games anyway.
Yeah.
So I tried for a while.
How long did you make it?
I didn't make it very far. I mean, when you're talking about 167 three-point shots.
A lot of threes. A lot of threes in the game. Team LeBron hoisted 90 threes. they took
93 shots. That's,
LeBron about, was one of eight, by the way.
How about LeBron's first shot, which was like just across half court?
Yeah. Oh, isn't he fun? Isn't he something
else?
Let
me just launch this
thing. It was sickening. And even as a huge fan of the NBA, watching LeBron play with his handpicked team of guys that he all wants to play in the Lakers, like Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Klay Thompson, Ben Simmons. It really is. It's amazing. These are all the guys that he wants. It's all of Rich Paul's guys. It's all the guys that have been rumored to play with LeBron. He was somehow able to get all of them on his team. You know, even Dwayne Wade, going back to his best friend in the league for forever, all those guys. So it was kind of sickening. It was like LeBron's night, and having to see the scoreboard for the second year in a row say Team LeBron, puke. Don't want to see that.
How about when Dirk gave him the cold shoulder?
I love Dirk.
Dirk's now your favorite NBA player.
I love Dirk. I've always loved Dirk. Well, because they beat the Heat that first year that he were together. So I love Dirk Nowitzki. He plays 4 minutes, goes 3 for 3 from three.
Good night, everybody.
Career. Fantastic. Great job by Dirk. I liked the uniforms. Did you see the uniforms last night? They went white and black, but then they had the team's or each player's own team logo on it. So rather than just like a thing that said LeBron on it, which really would have made me sick.
You would have gone crazy.
Real sick. So it had like the Celtics logo on it. So actually, I kind of like that.
Half of the jerseys that are out there right now.
No, that's true.
Like some of the jerseys in the NBA are
real
disgusting.
Bad. Oh, real bad.
No one's rocking a Phoenix Suns 2019 jersey.
Did you see the jersey that Chris Middleton was wearing for the three-point contest? What is that thing? It's like a Bucks alternate jersey, I guess? That was disgusting. And yes, I did watch the three-point contest. I watched the dunk contest, which was, it happened. It took place. Yeah, it was rough. It was not good.
Yeah.
But
are you one of those people that thinks, oh, if the Stars do it, like everybody will watch it
again?
Yeah,
yeah, I do. I think so.
Do you actually think the Stars are ever going to do it after seeing these?
So now that you mentioned it, so you see the dunk last night that Curry did like the bounce, like the super high bounce pass and Giannis
jumped. Which was kind of cool.
And Giannis jumped up to the top of the square and threw it down. He made a comment. Like, oh, should I do the dunk contest next year? He said something on Twitter. Like, should I? ? And then Donovan Mitchell responded. He says, if you do it, I'll do it. That's pretty good. So if you get this year was it was hysterical how not star power it was.
I liked the end though.
The end was pretty cool.
You know, leap over Shaq, rip open your jersey, and have the Superman shirt underneath. It was kind of cool.
Diallo.
I don't know who he is, but it was cool.
Who the hell is this guy?
Hello?
It's like, okay. Fine.
Star power, Keith. Yeah, it was star power.
It was rough. No, but the whole Kyrie Irving thing, I mean, it was just, we kind of saw it coming. We were talking about this on Friday. Like, if we had to predict whether he was going to play in the game or not, I think we all said he was going to play in the game.
Yeah.
The Celtics are doing the best thing they can. They kind of are in a position where they have to kiss his ass, aren't they? If you're Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge, do you think they know for sure what he's doing? No way. No way. They have no idea.
I mean, they had to have asked.
Oh, they did, but do you think
Brad was busy because he was in Fort Myers watching the Red Sox at spring training.
He was doing some fungo work down in
chasing
Fort Myers
fly balls or something.
But if you're, do you think Kyrie Irving even knows where he's going to go next year?
Well, to your point about they kind of have to kiss his ass, aren't they required to kiss his ass more now? With what Anthony Davis said Friday?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. I mean, like, that's one of the side effects to the league. Like, I like all of the soap opera stuff in the NBA. I do.
You
I like
say it, but you complain about it all the time.
No, but I...
You say you like it. And
I like.
You...
I do like it. But it doesn't mean it comes with everything's positive. There are negatives. Like, the Anthony Davis situation in New Orleans right now, that thing is a mess. And also, you do have to... You know, you're Danny Ainge and you're Brad Stevens. You should be above having to kiss a player's ass like this. But
NBA?
You have to.
No one's above having to kiss a player's ass.
That's good. And it goes back to how important the star players are and how it's a players' league. They are far more important than the coaches are.
Well, let's we'll give you the whole thing about
Anthony
Davis.
I don't know how excited you want to get about this.
Well,
you know, but
Well, it's better than the alternative, which
I guess.
Hell no, I don't want to go to Boston.
It sounded like just the Lakers for a little while for Anthony Davis, but then he had this.
And then he said,
"My intent is to play. Continue to play. And that's it. And that's their decision. I mean, obviously it's a business, and I understand that. And when we were talking about in the beginning about, you know, playing or not playing, I understood it from their perspective. So, you know, my job is to play the game of basketball, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. I never said Boston wasn't on my list."
Okay. That
I never said Boston wasn't on my list.
Do you have more of it? Do you have the other cut in there, too?
Okay, they wasn't on my list. I never said they was not on my list. I never said they was not on my list.
All right, there's another part in there, because that part right there, you're like, oh, okay, so Boston is on his list, right? Like, that's a good,
well,
that's
they
a good
didn't
thing.
Say they weren't on his list.
Yeah, okay,
but, yeah.
So I assume that they are on the list. So these guys all have a list of teams they want to go to, even though, by the way, really nobody in the NBA has a no-trade clause. Like, it's not like...
No, some do. LeBron says, no, I'm not getting traded. Okay,
they have a de facto one. It's
because he's the GM, he can...
Because Peter Chiarelli is just handing these out.
He's like everybody.
No, but
the equipment manager for the Oilers has a no-trade clause.
That's the beauty of it, is the guys in the NBA don't have to have them. They can just say, I'm not going to re-sign here, and then they essentially do have one. But no, Anthony Davis could get traded anywhere, but... A team that could re-sign him would give him more, and therefore his list is important, but his list seems to be more than maybe just the Celtics.
That list, I just wanted to clarify, is it on the list or not on the list?
All 29 of the teams are on my list.
Everyone's on the list.
I don't have a preferred destination. Like I said, I just want to win, you know.
All 29 teams are on your list,
come on,
Anthony?
If we could have just left it where I put it,
Anthony,
you could feel better about yourself.
So he's
now
saying,
you don't feel good about yourself
no,
again. And my
crap.
Job is to try to make you feel better.
It's shocking, though, isn't it, Dale, that after the trade deadline is up and they couldn't force their way to the Lakers, that suddenly he would go anywhere? Suddenly?
I never said Boston wasn't on my list.
So 29 other teams. So now he really can't play for the Pelicans again. They're already booing him in New Orleans.
Oh, God.
And now he's saying
they shouldn't even play him the rest of the year.
They cannot, because he's saying he would rather go to Cleveland. He would rather go to Memphis. He would rather go to Phoenix. He would rather go to the Knicks. Well, I guess at least that's New York. He'd rather go to Atlanta. He'd rather go to the Bulls. This is what he's saying.
29 other teams are on my
Everyone.
List.
29 other teams. So you're the worst team. The only place you don't want to play is where you are. He has handled this. He and his dad and Rich Paul have handled this so poorly. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
29 other teams are on my
Everyone's
list.
Everyone's on the list.
Go anywhere you want.
I have a preferred destination. Like I said, I just want to win.
Wouldn't you respect him more if he said, here are four teams I want to go to. Here are five teams I want to go to. He wants to go to every team but New Orleans. He's like, I don't care where they traded me. I just don't ever want to be here again. That is insane. And then, meanwhile, his dad's talking about loyalty.
His dad.
Talking about the Celtics and loyalty. So... They're just a mess. Unfortunately, the Pelicans, I think, actually made the right move by not trading them to the Lakers. They're going to get more offers in the offseason. Although then they go and fire Dell Demps. So I don't know who's in charge. I don't know if you want
That's
Danny.
Your guy, Danny Ferry.
He's not my guy.
No. Now you wanted Danny Ferry to be a good, positive force, because that's your only chance.
Although
they're not
going
to let him do this. He's the interim GM. They're not going to let him make this deal, are they?
Did you see one of the reports that Mike Zarin, who's in the Celtics organization, could get that job?
I can't tell the future, but all 29 teams are on the list.
Oh, Anthony, that is so stupid. All 29 teams, give me a break. It's too late for that, the 29 teams. But if Mike Zarin goes, can they even make that deal, or is it just...
Or is Mike Zarin saying, I can't trade him to Boston?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how bad is that?
They'll think I'm Kevin McHale. I'm just handing the Celtics an NBA title.
I don't know. I mean, it would be, right? Like, that would be... Unless, but then also, if you're Danny Ainge, you can't really fleece him either, because he knows who all your most important pieces are. He was on the other end of the deal just a moment ago. So I wouldn't want it to be him. I think it'd be too confusing if it was Mike Zarin. Let it be, you know, Danny Ferry or somebody else, and try to work out a deal that way. But I do think the chances of Anthony Davis, despite all this nonsense and the 29 teams,
I think they're pretty slim.
Oh, no, I disagree. I think they're good. I think they're real good.
I think it's still the Lakers.
But Jason Tatum is on the table. Jason Tatum
is
better than Kuzma, better than Lonzo Ball. I think that this is the deal to be made. I think there's a better chance on the Celtics than the Lakers next year.
So then the question becomes, and we asked this before, if you're Danny Ainge, and assuming that you don't have some contract extension agreed to before the deal, are you willing to give up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown with the possibility that you've got 1 year of Anthony Davis and he walks out the door to L.A.?
Yeah, and you need to also make sure you have the 1 year of Kyrie Irving, too. Like, you need to have both of those guys together. Like, and I think that would be part of it.
But
I think Kyrie stays.
It would all be worth it for you for 1 year.
I think so. I think so. And then I hope
even if you won a title that year, I'm not sure it would be worth it.
Well, because then obviously, if you won a title, it would be worth it.
My point is,
for sure it would
then it's going to be like 10 years of Death Valley.
But a title's worth all of that. If you win the title, a title? Yeah. Would you rather have nine competitive seasons?
Memphis?
Would you rather have nine really competitive seasons, no titles, or one title and eight kind of crap seasons? The title, right?
Well, for the year that you had, for the year that you had the title, that'd be great.
Yeah.
For the next 8, 9, 10 years, you'd be going,
yeah, but don't you trust Danny Ainge to turn things around? He had to rebuild once, and he had one season where they missed the playoffs. They missed the playoffs once. Like, I would trust him to be able to turn it back around. And I would think Kyrie and Anthony Davis, and then maybe they stay. Because now you're talking about, they're both going to go to the Lakers and join up with what'll he be, 35-year-old LeBron? And I know he's a freak of nature, but look at what they're doing this year.
You got a 41-year-old quarterback here who you feel pretty good about. And I've seen LeBron James at 35 look pretty damn good.
Well,
now, he missed some games.
He's also out of the playoffs right now, you know, and they haven't been able to recruit
because
everybody.
Of those games that he missed.
He missed games for sure, but I'm just saying, I don't think anybody envisioned the Lakers and LeBron being where they're at right now. And then the trade deadline coming and they have nobody there. They didn't sign any free agents in the offseason of note to go with them. I mean, outside of, I guess, Rondo. So he might not be the big recruiter that they thought he was, even though he's buddies with everybody and they're all having a great time at the All-Star game. I don't know. I think you'd have to maybe bet on yourself. I mean, at first I was of the camp that you can't trade Tatum for 1 year of Anthony Davis. You can't do it. But now I think if you don't get Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving is also going to leave. And now you're left with, hey, you have Tatum and Brown, but you don't have Kyrie or Davis.
Doesn't this sort of feel a little bit like the Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett thing? Where, you know, if you got one, you could get the other. If you didn't get one, you couldn't get the other.
Yeah, sure. I think it could be. Now, they traded for Ray Allen, and they could do it, and Kevin Garnett wasn't going to re-sign unless they got him and wouldn't want him to come here, but I think so. I think if those two play together and if they win, Anthony Davis has not won anything. They finally won a playoff series last year. He's only been to the playoffs twice in his whole career. So if he goes and has a good run here with Kyrie, I think they could definitely stay. And then at that point, Horford's going to be off the books in another year, and then you could even bring in another one of their buddies if you really want. You could find a way to do that. So I am now of the trade, even though they both annoy me, like Kyrie's bothered me, Anthony Davis and his dad and all that stuff, but talent-wise, if you have two top 10 players in the league, you're automatically not only a title contender, but depending on what happens with Golden State, if Kevin Durant leaves to go start his own team somewhere, or he goes to the Knicks, or if Klay Thompson leaves, you might be the favorite to win the whole thing.
Boy, it's going to be an interesting offseason here, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, forget about what happens between now and the end of the regular season and then the playoff push. It's almost going to be more interesting what happens in July.
I know. And then that's the other part of it, too, is if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have a really good playoff run, how difficult is it going to be to trade them? And I think most people would say, can't do it. But Danny Ainge is the one guy who I would think would say, okay, great. Now your value is even higher. See you later. Like, that's how I think he would respond to it. But I think a lot of fans would have a tough time with that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. After we got off the air on Friday in the classic Friday news dump, we found out that the National Football League had reached a settlement in the collusion case against Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid. We don't know a lot of details at this point because both sides have been sworn to secrecy, but I promise you we will eventually learn what they are. I'll tell you when you probably will know more than anything else is when the Green Bay Packers have to ultimately file their financial statement, and we'll know what 1/32nd of the settlement amount was because the Packers are a publicly traded company.
Yeah. Good point.
And it's got to be out there.
Yeah.
So we will know eventually. Michael McCann, the superb sports law expert from the University of New Hampshire and Sports Illustrated, is going to join us at 11:30.
Good.
He wrote a great piece about this, the significance of the... And all weekend long, the two sides, the pro-Kaepernick and the anti-Kaepernick sides, have been battling back and forth. The pro-Kaepernick sides have been saying, I'm telling you, he had a lot of dirt. Discovery, he got a bunch of stuff on these guys. They are scared to death with what they learned during the discovery process, and that's why they had to settle. The anti-Kaepernick side is saying, he's just trying to get anything he can get at this point because, you know, he just wants to get this thing over
with. Well, it was weird because even just the pro-Kaepernick, even say a week ago, the people who were in favor of Kaepernick and everything that he was doing, even they, I started to see a little bit of a split because some were saying, well, what are you settling for? I thought this wasn't about the money. Like, I thought you really wanted to, you know, continue and really push on with something here. So even then, I think on both sides are kind of conflicted.
Well, as soon as you file a collusion lawsuit, it's about the money. And you don't file the lawsuit if it's not about the money.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe you wanted to prove it, right? Didn't you want to? Because right now, both sides can sort of say, "Well, you know, we didn't collude, but we just want this to go away." If you're the NFL, you're like, "We just kind of wanted this to go away," but we don't know all the details. Because imagine if they really started to dig in to some of these owners' emails and all this other stuff that they had going
on. That's the thing. Yeah. This is what I think scared the life out of the National Football
League. Oh, we would have found stuff way worse than this Kaepernick
stuff.
I mean,
among the people who were deposed were New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft. There were a bunch of others. Right. I'm just saying, we know that Robert Kraft was deposed. I think the NFL ultimately was saying, listen, we don't want people to know how the sausage is being made here. We don't want this information out there in public. Just settle the damn thing, Roger. Let's get this over with. Let's put it behind us. But we'll talk to Michael McCann. We'll get his take on it at about 11:30. We'll get to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes. Another one of the Red Sox voices.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Lewin is going to join us.
Good.
Actually, he's in the building.
He is in the building.
We had a chance to So about 10:50-ish.
All right. Sounds
ballpark.
Good.
We'll get a chance to visit with Josh. And I got a chance to meet with him today and found out he interviewed me.
Interviewed you?
Yes.
Is that right? How'd that go?
It was
Save it when he joins us.
We'll talk to him about it
when he joins us a little bit later on. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
And normally when you see a settlement, Skip, what's the first thing? Be it man, woman, a child, or corporation. This is not an admission of guilt. You're absolutely right. Mm. But it's an admission of guilty conscience. And that's good enough for me. Mm. Because every time I heard Commissioner Goodell and I heard all these owners speak, Skip, they told me the reason why Colin Kaepernick wasn't participating in the NFL is that his talent wasn't good enough. Mm. Well, if that's the case, go to court and prove it. The owners and the commission were their worst enemies. All they do is keep their mouth shut, but they just couldn't help it. Because what happened is they got sucked into this thing with our president. They should have just left well enough alone. And every time one of them spoke, I saw a toe pop out, Jenny, because they kept their foot in their mouth. And so every time one of them opened their mouth, they go, boop, oh, another toe, and another toe. Oh, he's not good enough. And then all of a sudden they start talking. Well, it was our fan base and yada, yada this, and we couldn't stand half that.
If the NFL thought
they could take this to court and win, Colin Kaepernick would not have been offered a settlement.
I do have to admit, and I hate agreeing with anything Shannon says, Skip, because everything he says ends with the word Skip.
Skip.
But
Skip actively listens.
Mm-hmm. But I do think there was a certain fear factor involved for the National Football League. We'll talk to Michael McCann about this at the bottom of the next hour, about an hour from now. But he made a great point. He does a whole analysis of what this means. And again, we don't know numbers. Both sides are sworn to secrecy. Almost everybody believes that eventually we will know, and the Green Bay Packers may be the avenue that helps us.
Right.
Anyway, he makes a great point. Donald Trump began to criticize Colin Kaepernick and the NFL owners on March 20th, 2017. That was the first time that he unloaded. One day after the president flew on Air Force One with Robert Kraft.
Hmm.
And, you know, there's at least the suspicion that Robert Kraft said something to the president. Now, McCann also points out that Kraft openly criticized the president over his comments about kneeling players. But if you don't believe in coincidences, the first presidential tweet about Kaepernick came a day after he flew on Air Force One with Robert Kraft. I do think that the National Football League and especially the owners are scared to death about the idea of discovery. And what are they going to find out? And what are they going to be able to talk about that we don't even know?
I also think they are more scared of the president than any other league seems to be.
Right? Oh,
I mean, their
reactions
are really unbelievable.
Petrified.
You know, the NBA kind of goes in one direction. The NFL is so scared what a tweet might be or whatever a comment may be at any given time. But yeah, I think part of it is, and we'll talk to Michael McCann next hour about this, it is really difficult to prove collusion. And maybe they thought, on the one hand, they thought they were going to lose, or on top of it, just all these other things that could get out, and they didn't want to deal with it, and they thought, hey, we'll just throw some money at it. By the way, guys, we're going to split it out of 32 teams, so we're not even going to pay that much. Even if it's as high as what we heard, like $80 million, now I know there's been other reports that say it's lower than that, even if it's $80 million, if all 32 owners are splitting that up equally, that's nothing. That's like paying a long snapper.
And
like, you're fine.
And it's especially worth it if nobody gets to see
What
John Elway said to the lawyers in the deposition, what Jerry Jones said, what the late Bob McNair said, what Robert Kraft said. These were among the people who were all deposed.
But I do think, I do agree with Shannon in a certain extent, that if you think that you are 100% innocent, why would you settle? Why would you give in? Like, if you're the league, like, if you think, well, like, this guy's outrageous.
Yeah, but like, are you kidding?
So
of course we're going to fight it.
So could anybody that's been out of the league for a couple of years just sue them? Like, I'm out of the league for a reason here. So here it is, guys. And would they just settle with everybody? Or what is this specific case? They say, well, yeah, we had conversations about it or whatever. Plus, are you you're hiding something huge?
See, it leads me to believe that there is a smoking gun of some kind.
Yeah, it could be.
If you're Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid, why would you settle for a small amount if you think you've got a real good chance of beating the crap out of them in court anyway? And you go back
to
last
August. Though.
No, we don't. I'm saying, why would you settle for a small amount?
Yeah, yeah.
You go back to last August when a judge basically slapped the National Football League around, and the judge said, no, there's enough here for this to go forward. These guys get to depose these owners. No, there's something here. And at that point, the NFL started to go, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Roger? By the way, we'll go back to the point that Roger's been, you know, in the federal witness protection program.
We saw him once all last year, right?
We saw him while he was in Kansas City sitting with the people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a man of the people.
He didn't say anything, but he was there.
No, we saw him.
And we saw him at the state of the game address.
And you notice that the Patriots are not going to have the opening night game, so Commissioner won't have to deal with that again. It's probably why that they're not having the game. But either way.
No, I hadn't even thought about that. That's a good point by you. For the first time in like 8 years where the defending Super Bowl champion is not opening the season.
Weird.
One was Baltimore, and it had to do because of the Orioles.
Yeah.
And they share parking lots, and they couldn't maneuver things around. Right. But other than that, it's tradition.
Game. Yeah, yeah. Not this
and
year.
Now all of a sudden they're not.
Weird. The commissioner has to get his little dirty hands on that. But yeah, the league is, they're just trying to make this thing go away, but that doesn't mean that they're innocent in it, and it doesn't mean that other things wouldn't pop up that they would have to, you know, face the music on. So they're trying to get this thing away, but like you said, more details will come out eventually. And then there's the other whole aspect about him playing in the league again. And what is it? His lawyer says that he absolutely wants to play. Talking
kinda
about Kaepernick,
that the Patriots could be one. Now he's done this in the past.
He did that a while
ago. He's hinted about the Patriots in the past.
Like that's not happening.
Well, and Garagos has said,
I think you're going to see within the next 2 weeks that somebody's going to step up. Somebody's going to do the right thing. You want me to predict too? I will tell you, besides the Panthers, it would not surprise me if Bob Kraft makes a move. That would not surprise me. And it would not surprise me if his former coach, I'll test your knowledge, also makes a move.
I don't know that one off the top of my head, and I got to wrap it from here. Thank you, Mark Garagos.
So,
kind of left us hanging there.
Yeah, okay, Mark. Now, he said something similar like months ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, keep an eye out for this. And, like,
and
right,
nothing happened.
We kept an eye out. Nothing happened. Nothing happened there. He's never playing in the NFL again. It's not happening. They kept him out this long. Now they have to all pay him a bunch of money. We don't know if that was in the agreement at all. Like, hey, we're gonna go our separate ways here. And, you know, don't try to come back into the league. But now, on top of it, they didn't want him before, and now he hasn't played football for 2 years. So now all of a sudden teams are going to want him?
It's been over 700 days since he last threw a pass in anger.
And they can still go with the, well, no team really thinks he's going to help him, and it's not just because he took a knee. Because meanwhile, Eric Reed just signed a new deal with Carolina. He played last year, and then he just signed a new deal this year. Like $22 million. So I don't think.
So Eric Reed's going to make out really well, by the way.
Eric Reed's doing all right.
Between the settlement and the contract.
Yeah, good for Eric Reed. But yeah, Colin Kaepernick, no way. You think there's any scenario where he plays in the NFL again?
I won't say there's no scenario, although I do feel there's no scenario that he plays here. I think what people have done, and maybe Garagos is guilty of this, they've looked at Robert Kraft's willingness to take on social media, activities, the Meek Mill case. He's been willing to lend his support. And, yeah. And they're then saying, okay, well, he'll step behind Colin Kaepernick here as well.
Because I would have thought.
I think his coach has got to want Colin Kaepernick.
Because I would have thought that, like a year ago, if all the teams thought that this day might happen, wouldn't they have actually colluded to make a team sign Kaepernick?
Let's get him on a roster here.
Let's find the one team that really needs a quarterback and also the fan base that might be able to take this on. Like, there might be some teams and some owners that it really wouldn't be a fit, but you find a place for them and then you put them on a team and then there you go. That's why I was surprised that Eric Reed was still a part of this whole thing. Now, I guess he could say that he missed out. What, did he not play in 17, I think? Right. And so I guess he's looking for lost wages there. But I feel like it's hard to sue the league and say, hey, you've kept me out of the league. It's like, well, you play on a team. Like, I don't know what you're looking for. But so he's getting money back for that year. But the whole Kaepernick thing, the NFL's just praying they can just move on from this. But it's still now it's one of the bigger stories here in the offseason.
Again, I go back to last August when this Judge Burbank denied the NFL's request for a summary judgment. As Michael McCann said at the time, it said that means that Kaepernick had persuaded this judge that he possessed enough evidence sufficient to raise a genuine issue of material fact. He had convinced the judge because the judge said to the NFL, no, we're not making this go away.
Yeah.
And I thought from that moment on, it then became a question of how much is it going to cost?
Right. And that's why the first report we heard was like around like $80 million, right? That was the first thing I heard Friday night. I think it was around $80 million. Now that number and another report has come
there. And the way people have done that is Kaepernick made $14.3 million his last year in the league, okay?
Okay.
If you double that for the 2 years that he lost, it comes to $28.6 million. Triple damages, which is what the terms of the CBA, you get to $85.8 million.
Okay, there you go.
And that's where people came up with that number. Now, as pointed out by, I think this was written by the Monday Morning Quarterback, if his lawyers then made the argument that he would have had 3 more years of earning power, so now you take the losses
to 5
years. Oh, now
on top of it, yeah.
Then the number gets to $214.5
million. 214? That's a good hunk of change, huh? But even still, that is $6.5 million per team. So, like, that sounds like a ton of money, and it is. It's an insane amount of money. I don't think it even got to
214. Well, not for you. You've got the new deal. But
I'm
for
doing
me,
okay.
It's
I'm doing fine. Yeah, for you peasants out there, that might seem like a lot of money. But think about that. $6.6 million per franchise, and that's on the super high end. I don't think anybody suggested he got $214 million, but it sounds like a ton of money, and it is, and that guy could take that. But for each individual team, listen, we don't have to show you our emails. We don't have to open up our books. We don't need to talk about some of the other stuff that we've talked about. You don't need to have 100% proof that we colluded. Although, I do feel like it's an admission of guilt in a way, but yes, but still, you know.
You don't settle.
I don't think so.
If you didn't do anything.
I agree with that 100%. And so they just want to kind of protect it and move on.
Or they're scared to death what some of these owners said in discovery.
Yeah.
Not even about Kaepernick, about other stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It opens up the doors to all kinds of other issues. Maybe all of a sudden we find out Kareem Hunt, you know, how much Kansas City knew or all. Yeah, I don't know. There's so many things that could possibly be. So if you just told each team in the league, hey, you guys all have to pay $3 or $4 million for these franchises that are all worth $1 billion or billions of dollars.
Yes.
And like, hey, you guys need to pay $3 million, please take it. Like, we have, actually, you know what? I have it on me. Like, just take it and get out of here. And so I think they would absolutely, they would be willing to settle.
It'll be interesting to see, because eventually, as I said, we may know flat out what the number is.
Yeah.
Because of the public records of the Green Bay Packers, they may ultimately give
us
everything.
There's a lot of loose-lipped owners, right? And then if one owner, and I know they're going to be told, hey, you can't say a word about it, but one source gets out there about what one team paid, then you just do the math on it, and then the next thing you know, everybody has the answer.
There were people during the Anthem controversy period who said, that's it, I'm gone. And many of them have, in my opinion at least, have indicated, I didn't come back. No, they lost me, and I didn't come back. There were people who...
Yeah, I mean, the ratings don't show that, but...
Right, but there are some.
Sure, good for them.
I promise you that there are going to be people out there, Patriots fans, who are going to say, if the Patriots sign Kaepernick, I'm gone.
Yeah.
If the Patriots bring Kaepernick in,
I mean, they might say that.
I'm out.
But do you think if a team signed Eric Reed, they would be out? Or do you think if a team signed, you know, Kenny Stills, they'd be out? Or if a team signed whoever else, they'd be out? I don't know. I mean, they might say that, but
Kaepernick is the lightning rod.
So if Kaepernick was the backup quarterback for the Patriots next year, as they're trying to repeat as Super Bowl champions, and Tom Brady is still your starting quarterback, you would not watch football. Well, I feel bad for you, sir or ma'am. That is a sad state of affairs. If you can't handle that, you can't just watch your team play because they signed a guy. Come on.
We'll talk to Michael McCann at the bottom of the next hour. He breaks this stuff down better than anybody, and I think he's done the best job from what I've seen. I've seen both Bert Breer and Peter King in their respective columns saying Michael McCann's done the best job of breaking this thing down anyway.
They're like pointing you there
So we'll go right to Michael McCann at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to Josh Lewin as well, one of the incoming voices of the Red Sox next season, and we'll get to your calls at 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe. Sports Radio, WE.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah.
Back to Dale.
It is a perfect, gigantic bucket of suck.
And Keith.
Have a little respect for yourself.
W-E-E-I on W-E-E-I.
So last week, Our radio station made the big announcement about the plans for the upcoming season for the Red Sox radio network. A Red Sox Hall of Fame play-by-play announcer, Joe Castiglione, not only is returning, but has signed a contract extension. And then there was a list of 8 people who were named to kind of be partners with Joe most of the time.
They're an all-star team, Dale. Yeah, you can say it. I know you're on there.
Definitely an all-star team.
It's an all-star team.
And I have worked with some of these people. I've known all of them, except one guy. Two guys. Never met Mario Impemba.
Right.
And I'd never met Josh Lewin until today, or so I thought.
Wait a minute.
Then Josh Lewin walks in and says, oh, yeah, we worked together a long time ago, Dale.
Well, kind of.
Sort of.
A little.
So Josh is here with us.
Yes.
And will be one of, in fact, he's going to be doing, he and Mari are doing the most number of games the upcoming season. Good to see you, by the way.
It's great to see you, Dale. And Rich, great to meet you, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you interviewed me.
Okay, so let's wind the watch back on this one. I looked like Ben Stiller in Something About Mary when he got his wiener caught in the zipper.
There's a visual.
I heard that commercial just a second ago.
No, that's how it got bent.
Yeah.
I was probably 14 years old, braces, acne, the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
I'm in Rochester, New York, which is where I grew up.
Crossroads of a million lives where crime never takes a holiday.
Sure.
The Flower City, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So Dale's doing the Maine Mariners games.
Right.
Rochester Americans used to be, by
heated
the way,
rival.
Used to be the Bruins affiliate, by the way, back in the John Wensink
and
days.
The Don Cherry days.
That's exactly what Grapes was in Rochester. That's true. This was actually Mike Keenan era in Rochester, of all things. But anyway, the Maine Mariners were a big rival for the Rochester Americans. And I had my little tape recorder, and I had my pretend radio station, and I had the gumption to ask Dale if he would do an interview with
and
me.
And he, of course, said no.
Don't bother me, kid.
He, of course,
oh, he was such an
you.
Ass. No. He was great. And so for my fake radio station, my fake pregame show, and then I did fake play-by-play of Rochester versus Maine from the catwalk because I was a persistent little teenager. And
they gave you like a space in there? They're like, here, or did you buy a ticket?
How I literally sat next to the organist.
Really?
The organist.
And you're just doing play-by-play.
Yeah, so if you listen to those tapes on radio station WJML, Joshua Mark Lewin.
Oh, nice.
Sports Radio 700 on your dial. The you'd hear
the organist.
But so anyway, Dale was fantastic then, and he was almost as nice today.
Now,
so,
is there any chance that that tape still exists?
Zero.
Oh, okay. God, please.
I mean, that would be amazing for everybody involved.
It would be a question of which of our voices would be higher on there. That would be the only thing.
That would be great.
So Josh is part of the group. He's going to come in here and do Red Sox baseball, and he now lives in San Diego, but it's like a dream come true for you as well, you told me.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, this is bucket list stuff. And my whole thing was I've been doing the Mets for the last 7 years and had a great time doing that. That's a plum job, too. But my wife and I got remarried to a Southern California girl and was doing the Chargers games for forever out there. They left to go to L.A. I didn't want to leave to go to L.A., and it's time for us to just kind of settle somewhere. So we picked San Diego. We figured the heck with it. We're just going to go out there. I'll do some part-time stuff for the Padres. And then I get a phone call that there are some games available here. And it's like, wait a minute, really? Really? Okay, I mean, I don't want to do 160 for the Mets, but 55 for the Red Sox? That is a great number.
Our West Coast correspondent.
That's right.
That's what I feel like. Yeah. Every single game will be 3 hours off. But, I can't thank Entercom enough. I mean, between Joe Zarbano and Mark Cannon, all those guys have been great. And to work with Joe Castig, I mean, good grief, that's pretty.
Now you've
stuff.
Done you've done different teams, you've done different sports. What's it like working with different play-by-play color commentator partners?
You got a chameleon a little bit and just kind of go with how. I mean, I've worked with Psycho Lions, which that's a whole other show.
Sure,
Remy.
Yeah, worked with Rem Dog. I mean, because I did Fox for 15 years.
Right.
I was like that number three game that the Sox would sometimes get. Matter of fact, this is kind of weird. My very first Fox game, I was 27, Fox had hired all these famous young broadcasters, sons of people you've heard of.
You know, Joe Buck.
Joe Buck, Tom Brenneman, Kenny Albert, and they ran out of famous sons. So,
they'll take this guy.
But they wanted to go young, so I was lucky enough to be that, third guy at the time. And my very first game on national TV was Red Sox at Mariners. And wouldn't you know, the very first game I'm going to do for you guys is Red Sox at Mariners. It comes full circle.
It's all coming together.
Mo Vaughn hit about a 470-foot home run in that game at the Kingdom. I'll never forget that. So, no, and you're right. I mean, but working with Joe, I mean, that's easy. Joe's the sweetest, nicest man in America.
It'll be a little more enthusiastic working games for the Red Sox than it might have been the last couple of years for the Mets.
There was a 2015 World Series. That part was cool.
There?
It was. It existed. I was there. Although, here's one for you. Game 5 was right after I had Chargers at Ravens. I actually had to charter a plane, like one of these really teeny tiny planes, to get from Chargers at Ravens overtime loss up to Game 5 and was going to go with the team to Kansas City had they won. Tragically, they did not. Kansas City scored like 5 in the 12th, and that was it for the World Series. But yeah, to your point, Dale, the last couple of years have been not good for the Mets. So this is coming to a World Series winning team. That's going to be really fun.
Is Tim Tebow going to be on the opening day roster for the Mets?
Opening day, no, but it's such a marketing bounty that at some point, why not?
Yeah, you got to, right?
You have to. I mean, it sells itself.
Can't play.
Well, I mean, they got a whole bunch of guys who can't play already on their team. But at least I've heard of Tim Tebow.
No, but I think that some of the guys who can't play, who are on their roster, are at least major league caliber. He may be a guy who can't play who's not major league
caliber. We were talking about it last. I mean, is Drubal Cabrera's as old as Tim Tebow? You know, so to break this guy in as a rookie, that would have been a little weird. And still will be weird, but I think it is going to happen at some point.
I hope so.
I mean, you've been begging for Tim Tebow to make it.
Put the guy in there.
Now, have you seen him spring trainings and stuff? Have you had an idea of whether...
Yeah, super guy. And in fact, I actually got to know him when he was with the Broncos because, you know, the Chargers would play the Broncos every year twice. And, fascinating guy, really interesting. Can't hit very well, but, he's certainly a talking point. And I give him credit. He's worked really, really hard to get close.
He had 273 in Double A last year, so it's not like he's better than Michael Jordan was. You know, like he's better than somebody's. Like I don't think he's just.
Nobody thought Michael Jordan was going to play in the major leagues.
Well, no, but I'm saying, but he tried.
Especially like, not his manager.
No, I know Tito didn't, but
Tito said,
but Jordan must have. I don't think Jordan went there just to play minors. I bet he thought, hey,
if there are those who thought he was trying to hide out for a while.
That's a wild conspiracy deal. How dare you?
But turns out hitting a baseball is not.
It's
easy.
Tough. Right. It's a tough thing to do.
I wonder what Tebow would. I wonder how he would take it if he felt he was being promoted to the major league club simply as a marketing ploy.
He'll take his. He'll do his best.
I don't know that. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, but I think he's got it, and not to get too cosmic about it, but he's got this kind of I'm here for a greater good thing. I'm here to preach some gospel and spread a message of love. Yada yada. Whatever gets him in that room, I think he's fine with that.
The Chargers, as you said, moved to L.A. and we've seen Still
can't make an adjustment
team.
In the first half.
No, can't.
Notice that.
But I'm curious about the people, the fans of San Diego. Did they just turn on them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they just hate everything about that organization.
You can't. No, it's just they're dead to everybody. And it's a shame because that was a rabid, really awesome fan base. And now they've got the Alliance of American Football, the San Diego Fleet. And they played in the rain in San Diego yesterday and drew 8,000.
Part this week.
No, but apparently nobody else did either.
Good seats still available. But that stadium is crap. I mean, it's falling apart, and I understand that they needed to do something. It's a shame, though, that it just was so much talk. The city and the team would just, they'd go nowhere. And finally the team said, to hell with it, we're going to L.A. But no, in San Diego, it might as well they went to Omaha. Yeah, they have no interest in going up to L.A. to see him.
Well, there was some talk in this offseason because the Raiders are having problems in Oakland. There was some talk about them playing in San Diego until they can get things fixed up in Vegas. Why would Chargers fans go watch the Raiders play?
Spite?
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, they'd go just to... And it's crazy because it would be like if the Yankees just decided to play at Fenway. I mean,
they're saying the worst case scenario would be the Raiders having a home game in San Diego and playing the Chargers.
But that's what was happening.
They're like, they're trying to prevent that.
But Rich, that was happening for years anyway.
That's pretty much.
The Raider fans are all over Southern California,
and it would
be like a termite infestation in there.
I remember when I was doing Patriots football a number of years ago, we were playing against the L.A. Raiders, and I did a game at the Coliseum. And it was weird. It was just a weird thing with the Patriots playing the L.A. Raiders in the Coliseum, and it's the way it was back then.
I understand the Patriots are good now.
They've turned things around.
Not bad.
Yeah, they've been strong.
I probably haven't heard out on the West Coast, but I am convinced, I've told Rich this, I am convinced that outside the 5.5 New England states, because half of Connecticut hates the Patriots, but outside the other 5.5, the rest of America hates the Patriots, too.
I have to report, having lived now both in New York and San Diego, you're 100% right.
And hate everything about them. They're just sick of them.
Why wouldn't they? Yeah. I mean, that's just how it goes.
Get rid of them. That's what they think.
Well, it gets annoying losing to them all the time. You know, I mean, and the closest the Chargers got to a Super Bowl when I was on their watch was 21-12 in the title game to go to the Super Bowl, where it ended up being David Tyree and all that. But... You can't beat, you can't do it. I mean, the Chargers have tried multiple times. I can't do it.
Circling back to baseball, what do you think of the Red Sox approach of not having a closer?
You know, it's unconventional.
Yeah. I would say so.
In fact, how's your arm feel?
Yeah. No, I can give you like an inning.
Okay.
Inning
well,
third.
Maybe all we need.
Get you four outs. But it actually, these days, and this is going to sound like I'm some apologist or honk or something, but you don't have to go into the season. 2013, nobody knew what that closing situation was going to be. And O'Hara ended up being amazing. That was one of the best September-Octobers a closer's ever had. The Angels go way back to, when was that they won it? In 2002. And K-Rod comes up. Nobody had K-Rod on the radar. So you find closers as you
That's
go
That's what
sometime.
Ryan Brazier is going to be this year,
Is that
Rich.
Right?
It's Ryan Brazier? K-Rod.
I'll mark you down for Ryan Brazier, then. That's your guy. Fine.
I would prefer they maybe get Craig Kimbrell back
in
here.
But. And then the overall, the way baseball is going, you have Kimbrell's one of them, but Harper and Machado still being free agents.
Not for much longer, it doesn't sound like. Well, sounds like it's getting close.
But not good for the game, right?
No, horrible for the game.
I mean, the offseason stinks. Like, all these other sports, I mean, basketball offseason goes on for, I mean, in-season. Like, it's just so much drama, even in the NFL. I mean, that's a 12-month-a-year sport. Baseball, World Series comes to an end. There's your update. And then now it's, teams are in spring training, and two of the best players in baseball are free agents.
Yeah, you can't imagine the LeBron not knowing where he's going to be playing.
You find out July 1st for those guys.
And the season starts in a few weeks. That's just unfathomable.
It's really weird.
But. So you've got to go back and finish up your UCLA basketball season. That won't take long.
Alas, I know. Mm. Boy, they're bad.
Notice that.
That's one Bruins that actually is not going to make a postseason.
How many years did you do UCLA basketball?
I'm still doing them. I'm doing football and basketball out there. That's what I took in place of the Chargers. So
were you there a couple years ago with Lonzo Ball?
Yes,
and
I
LeVar?
Was.
What was that whole saga like, being up close? We actually talked to LeVar one. He's a friend of the show.
Is he? Well, he's a friend of every. If you give him a mic, he's your friend.
He was willing.
What was that balance with you? I'm sure you guys did interviews with him.
He was fine. No, you know what? We actually steered clear of
him. Did you not?
Quite on purpose. Yeah, because it was supposed to be about Lonzo, and by the way, TJ Leaf and Aaron Holiday. They were a 31-5 team that just played poorly against Kentucky at the wrong time. De'Aaron Fox put 39 on him.
Yeah.
And by the way, Lonzo was guarding him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that was not a good look for Lonzo.
No.
I'm thinking the whole time, there goes the speaking it into action number two pick of the Lakers thing from LeVar, because Fox just went for 39 on his butt.
Right.
But other than that game, really, that was a magical year. This year they're paying for it because all those guys who would have been juniors are gone, and the team is pretty bad.
So we know that you'll start in Seattle.
Yeah.
So you've got your opening day.
I've got my opening day assignment, and I'm actually heading to spring training on my own next week just because I want to take Joe to dinner. Seriously. I mean, I want to get to know Joe a little bit.
I'll just help you out here. Italian.
Yeah.
Italian. Right. And Italian.
Is that right?
Okay. One of those three will do.
Get him a nice pasta dish. He'll be all right.
Oh, he'll be a happy guy.
Olive Garden. See, I got the budget from Zarbano.
Non-stop breadsticks.
The unlimited breadsticks.
Yeah,
and Joel will be your friend. Well, he's everybody's friend anyway.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. I can't wait to get going. And it's a little humbling because when I heard the other names, it's like, wow, really?
Arnold. You saw Dale Arnold on there.
Hey, I interviewed him. I've got a tape.
I'm telling you, you were a great interview. You really were.
I don't believe it.
It was fantastic.
He's kissing up to you.
I had a feeling that the sound of it was along the lines of, "Hi, Mr. Disney." It was probably a lot.
Well, that was me.
But yeah. No, me too. I was about 26 then or thereabouts and had a high voice.
Calling a great...
higher voice.
How'd you lower your voice?
I didn't.
No, that's the I think you did.
That's the problem. It did.
Last week it was real low.
Oh, last week. Hold on, I got some more
drugs
here.
Cough medicine.
Want a little hit off that, Josh? I'm looking forward to working with you this year. Congratulations.
Great to see you, fellas. Thank you
absolutely
so much
good
for the invite,
you.
And I can't wait.
Josh Lewin, who will be part of the Red Sox radio network this season, joining us. Michael McCann, superb legal analyst for SI.com, will join us at the bottom of the hour. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.